Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Pahrump is the perfect destination for family hiking and backpacking. It also features some of the world's most exciting attractions, like the Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and the Dragon Cloud Dojen, now offering beginner classes in Hapkido. The nightlife is the best in Nevada, with dining options like Dave's Roast Steak and Stab's Diner, which hosts a terrific open mic on Thursdays. Pahrump has fought hard to banish any and all foreign flags from flying in this American city. Seriously, this is a real, true fact. So come on down. We're only 60 miles south of McCarran Airport, with shuttles leaving every 9 hours. Pahrump, there are things to do here.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, author of Springfield Confidential, Simpsons writer Mike Reese. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a review of Ocean's 8 in Hooray for Bollywood. And now, you might remember him from such films as Today We Kill, Tomorrow We Die, and Gladys the Groovy Mule. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing the good news. We love that about you. And I want to thank Simply Safe. Go to simplysafeadam.com and Castrol Challenge. You can shoot us a tweet over there, and we'll get into that. Tommy John as well. TommyJohn.com/Adam. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
If you got neck rolls, you want to show them off.
I am here. People might think they didn't hear the applause. Brian's not here today. No, this machine is slowly breaking and has been for several weeks.
That's very sad.
So what should we do? Get a new one?
Gets repaired. No, it gets repaired every year or so. It gets a little tune-up.
It's time.
We take it on the road so it gets bumbled around a little bit and the guts get shooken. Mm-hmm. Which is a technical term, by the way. But once a year or so, we send it in for service.
Well, we'll get that on the to-do list. I'm excited. Mike Reese is coming in because he's Mr. Simpsons and written many episodes that I love. And my kids are knee-deep into The Simpsons now. They're watching all the episodes.
Are they binging in order? Are they on a season?
Yes, and I'm walking in every 5 minutes and literally doing dialogue from... I realize I have the names. Like, I call one, like, Rancho Relaxo, but it's Marge Goes AWOL or whatever. And I have and the other one, you know, Homer becomes morbidly obese. I love that one. The Holy Roller one is funny, too. Which the Downhill Derby.
Oh, yeah.
One where
yeah.
Martin makes his
supercar.
Yep. And all. That's a great
Martin
episode.
Prince.
And Homer Steals Cable. I just have them all labeled like that in my head. They're all a little more clever than that, but we'll get into that. But the kids are getting into
perfect
it.
Perfect time.
Do they sing Canyon Arrow over and over again?
Canyon Arrow.
They love it. They're quoting it. They're smart. Yeah. I said to the nanny, old guy, many years ago, when they're sitting around watching this hamper full of shit known as Caillou and Dora the Explorer and all the other fucking just hollow vacuum of creativity that is Dora the Explorer and all the retarded folks who create it and Caillou the nutty Canadian retards who make that piece of shit. I would say, show them The Simpsons. And she'd be like, they're four. And I'd be like, show them The Simpsons. And she'd be like, it's vulgar. Like, it's not right for them or whatever. And I'd go,
I don't want their brains poisoned. I don't want their brains poisoned by this vacuous shit that they're showing called Caillou or Dora the Explorer. You shouldn't grow out of food or creativity. Here's how you know the creators of Dora the Explorer are insane hacks or completely talentless. As soon as the fucking assholes that you guys make your art for, as soon as those little shits blow out the candles on their fucking ice cream cake at age 6, they're done with you.
Yeah.
Because you suck. Because once you sprout a pube, or once you realize there's something outside of mommy and daddy's house or apartment, once you realize there's other things that exist, no more shall you ever watch Dora the fucking Explorer or Caillou. That's what you watch if you're John McCain and you're in a fucking Hanoi Hilton.
Oh, but the second... I thought you were gonna say hospice.
Or a hospice.
Either way. Yeah.
The Hanoi hospice.
Oh, no.
Terrible place.
The only place worse than the Hanoi Hilton. And by the way, the poor Hilton company probably wanted to open a Hilton in Hanoi at some point. It was like,
at this point, lean in. Just go for it.
I'm saying, makers of Caillou and makers of Dora the Explorer who think they're doing something, why is it that your biggest fans never revisit your shit as soon as they turn 7? Is it because your stuff is a steaming pile of uncreative shit? Mm. Yes, it is.
That could be it.
And this notion of going, well, we create... Okay, so let me figure this out. You create art for people that don't... who aren't developed, mm-hmm. who don't have brain cells to rub together, who've never been exposed to any other art.
Malleable.
You create art for them.
Yeah.
And they create the art for you. Minds. They do finger paintings, and you put it on your fridge. Doesn't make it a fucking Picasso. The second... your kid turns 6 or I'll be generous, Dora the Explorer. When all your audience turns 7, they turn your shit off and they never turn it on again, ever.
Yeah.
So fuck you, your hacks. The Simpsons, on the other hand.
Oh, that's eternal.
My wife, myself, and my kids are all enjoying the shit out of that. And that's why I said, simply put that on. Mm-hmm. Let them absorb quality.
It's true.
Please.
I'm going to pose this question, and maybe we can answer it when Mike Reese comes in, because he has, well, I see on his little bio here, he has an answer. But think about this in the intervening few minutes. Favorite Simpsons character outside of Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson is the answer. He's the greatest. He's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. But there are other Simpsons character that you love the most.
Done and done.
I have one. Well, we'll talk to Mike about it. But
I might go Lionel Hutz, the lawyer.
I know it's a great answer.
It's easy.
Here's the criteria. That's why Lionel Hutz is a great answer. We'll talk more about it. Got to have layers. Can't just be Ralphie Wiggum, who is funny.
Hilarious.
But you know, he's a one-note character. He makes the one joke. It's funny, but you know, there's nothing to him.
I love it.
The jokes, but
I love it when he's babysitting and is like, now back to L.A. Lawn. He's like, oh, so fake with their sports cars. Oh, look at him. He's got a belt.
Like, that's the high bar that
in his world. It's so phony Hollywood that the guy owns a belt. I love those. And I love those kinds of lines because they're not even jokes.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, I've been watching Simpsons since I was, little, before we were probably supposed to. My dad loved it and he wanted us to watch it. And do you know how many years my dad's been saying, like, the time I destroyed Buddy Ebsen's credit rating, he knows why.
Right.
I didn't know who Buddy Ebsen was, and I knew it was funny. I knew that was a great line.
I love it in the Holy Roller one with the Soapbox Derby one. Whenever they do an announcer for an event, there's always English.
Yeah.
And they're always way over the top, but they go, these budding Al Unser Juniors. It's just so funny that they picked the one guy with a junior and put it in there. That's why they're the Simpsons. And why, if you work for Dora the Explorer or Caillou, you should kill yourself. Or just get out of the business. Stop imposing your horrific mediocrity on a new generation of kids. And don't feel good about hammering those checks when you're clearly hacks.
Blood money.
All right. I found out today when I turned on my computer and I got one of those, I guess I get on the email for like the classic car magazines or the vintage race or whatever. And they give you the lowdown of the events that are coming up and other things for sale, classify and blah, blah, blah. It turned out that Tom McEwen had died at the age of, 82.
Tom?
Tom McEwen. Tom.
Tom McEwen. Tom the Mongoose.
Ooh. Oh, McEwen. Tom.
The Mongoose. The Mongoose is going up against the Snake, Dom Perdomo.
Oh.
That's right.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Sunday, oh. Sunday, Sunday.
Wow.
And I thought, well, if the Snake and the Mongoose, and they made a theatrical film. That was horrible. That no. was Mongoose versus the Snake. Wow. I don't know if it, we see if it's got a rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but they actually came out with a film about that. I'll tell you that in a second. Thank you for that reminder, Max Pata, on my screen. And then let's see if we find Rotten Tomatoes on that movie. But anyway, I'll tell you about Simply Safe. And then I thought, well, this would be a fitting tribute to Tom McEwen to do a little Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. So you got Sweets Fox on the Run queued up,
yes.
And I'll tell you in 1 second. First, I'll tell you about Simply Safe 2017, the Better Business Bureau. Heard more than 5,000 complaints about alarm companies. That's alarming. Home security is top 10 most complained about industries. Yeah, because they're ripoff artists. They come in, they gouge you, they set up, and then they get you with the big monthly bills. My friends at Simply Safe Home Security treat you right. No contracts. Nothing is hidden. I've known these guys for years now. They're good people. They're A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. 10 years running, over 40,000 five-star reviews. So it's time to go. Let's get a break on that homeowners or renters insurance. Simply Safe, it's what security should be. And you get the best protection, period, and you get the best rate, period. Visit, and no pulling wires and drilling holes. Set it up in under an hour. Simply Safe, two eyes in there. SimplySafeAdam.com. All right, so it's a little... fitting tribute to Tom, the movie.
Whoa.
What?
Well,
wait, that must be the documentary. That's the movie?
That's
well, there's
amazing.
Only 2013.
There's only 5 reviews and 4 are fresh. And maybe they're from car sites.
80%
wow.
fresh.
80%
certified.
Fresh.
Or just fresh, yeah.
There's not enough reviews to be
okay,
certified,
gotcha.
But it is 80%.
I had a friend, Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea from CarCast. He went and saw it and said it was horrifically bad. Was there anybody in it? It's kind of weird that you made this move, that it's 80% with the critics and 71% with the people. I thought it'd be 20% with the critics. But I guess it's only the car magazines that went out and watched this. No one's in it.
Jesse Williams, he's a Desperate Housewives guy. Fred Dreyer, Richard Blake, Noah Wiley.
Fred Dreyer. You know it's got to be a good movie. Noah Wiley.
I would take
Ashley
this
Grace,
with a,
Tim Nelson.
I would take the 80% with a pretty big grain of salt. Number one is only 5 reviews. Number two, the IMDb has it at 5.8.
That is low for IMDb.
Yeah.
It's not in the sevens at all?
All right. You can remove that. We'll fire up the music. And I thought I'd give you a little Sunday, Sunday, Sunday as a send-off for Tom McEwen. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Orange County International Raceway. OCIR with a 5, the 4, 5, and the 1-10. Explode! Oh, they're all going to be there. The Bounty Hunter, the Chi-Town Hustler, the Hawaiian, Tom McEwen, the Mongoose, Dom Prudhomme, the Snake, TV Tommy Ivo, Shirley Cha-Cha Muldoon, the Texan, John Hale, Big Daddy Don Gunn, and English Leather Girls will be there because it's Fox Night. Fox is free. Eliminations, Under the Lights, Qualifications, 12 Noon, Fox News, the Human Stick of Dynamite, Gene Bean's going to be there. Stay away, kids. Rocket School Driver's going to be there. He's got a school bus. He's attached a rocket to it from a Tomahawk missile. He's going to burn up the quarter mile. Some go, some blow. Nitromethane. Drop it on the ground. Throw a match on virtually nothing. Put it inside a 500 cubic inch hemispherical head. Liquid dynamite! Also, specially erected backstage of the infield with the band Papa Do Run Run, playing all your favorite Jan and Dean and Beach Boys and Jan and Beach Boys and Jan and Dean and Beach Boys songs. Papa Do Run Run at OCIR. Again, Billy McEwen, the Chi-Town Hustler. Big Daddy Don Garland says she's taking that trumpet this time. Shirley Chester Mondale has other ideas. Tom McEwen, the Mongoose. He's dead, but he's still going to be driving a funny car against Don Prudhomme, the Snake, and TV Tommy Ivo, who obviously is not qualified to be on TV anymore, so he's driving a funny car. The Texan, Big Daddy Don Garland, English Leather Girls, and remember, Fox is free. Fox is free all day. When Fox is free, when accompanied by a pig. I'm changing rules up. I'm getting off the script. The OCIR, Orange County International Raceway with a 5, the 405, thank you, and the 110, explode!
Thank you, Dawson, for that tip at the end.
That was good.
That was, I need a cigarette.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Me too. Oh, I miss those commercials.
The explosions weren't in the original version. Jack Silver punched it in. So I needed more
they
explosions.
They really did have Fox Night, and they would play... They would play Fox on the Run, and they would say the English Leather Girls are there.
What do we know about Cha-Cha?
Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney?
Yeah. Still kicking?
She had a movie that was may have gotten a little Oscar notice.
What?
It's called The Revenant.
Ever heard of it?
Brian?
No, Shirley Muldowney now.
Heart Like a Wheel. Look it up. Heart Like a Wheel's gotta be 80 something. That
83.
80. No, what? How are we doing? Rotten Tomatoes. It got some notices.
Damn, like Brooks.
It was a
Bridges. I mean,
100%.
Is it?
That's what it says.
It's the Shirley Muldowney story. It's her life story.
Yeah, it's like a coal miner's daughter,
right,
kind of thing.
Wow.
But
nine reviews, all positive.
Hmm?
Nine reviews, all positive, 100%.
It was a big movie. It was it was a good movie. It was a big movie. It starred who and what?
Bonnie Bedelia and Beau Bridges.
Oh,
and
Bonnie Bedelia. Where you been? From Die Hard.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, she was at the height of her powers.
Holly Gennaro.
They're all at the height of their powers.
Wow.
And the movie got great reviews, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Damn.
It's got a weird poster that's different than the one I remember, but
probably updated the DVD.
Heart Like a Wheel was a big release in the early 80s.
Wow, I like that original poster. That's sweet.
I don't know if it got nominated for anything, but it was one of those, hey, it's a little pre Me Too ejaculation, but it was more like, hey, woman out there tearing it up in a man's world.
And not nominated for any Oscars, but apparently was nominated for the AFI, American Film Institute's top 10 sports films of all time.
So that's where Shirley, that's what happened to Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
Sweet.
All right, let's see. Let's see. Somebody phones things. Here we go.
Update also on Heart Like a Wheel. Nominated for Best Costume Design at the Academy Awards.
Oh, it was.
Yeah. I don't care about that.
Under accolades, it does not list it on Wikipedia.
Weird.
Yeah, weird.
All right. Well, there you go. Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney, Heart
Sweet.
Like a Wheel. Let's see, we got, just on the topic of movies, Ford versus Ferraris now got, Christian Bale on it. Matt Damon's on it. It's going to be directed by James Mangold from, Logan. And it's got the other guy, the Punisher guy.
Chomps Jane?
John Berthel.
I love John Bernthal from Walking Dead.
That guy's going to be Lee Iacocca.
Oh, damn.
And Christian Bale is Ken Miles. And it's kind of interesting because when we made this documentary a little bit ago about Ford versus Ferrari, one of the stories that I found most provocative and interesting and that I wasn't really prepared for was the Ken Miles story of the doc, the sort of Englishman, engineer, kind of gentleman racer who ended up coming close to who ended up being essentially the first guy
to win the Triple Crown of endurance racing, you know, sort of like the horse racing version, which is Daytona, 24 hours of Daytona, the 12 hours of Sebring, and then the 24 hours of Le Mans, until tragically he was told to slow down they could
get a photo finish.
And I'll try to explain this right, but Damon's going to be playing Carroll Shelby. Ken Miles was told to slow down, was about to win his the only guy to ever win the Triple Crown, and was told to slow down so that they could have their photo finish, but he was going to win anyway. They just, Ford would have their 1-2-3 photo finish. When told to slow down and let everyone sort of pass the finish line at about the same time, then he was ready to go up to the podium and win the biggest race in your career as a race car driver, the 24-hour Le Mans, especially at that point, and it made you an international superstar. This is the 60s. This is Ford winning it. Mm-hmm. You'd be the toast of the world. And because they start that race, not like they start traditional races where they grid everyone up and they let you sort of go along the track, because they start that race in an order, which is like first car's parked in the first parking spot, and the next car's parked in the next parking. They park them so they're at an angle mm-hmm. and facing out, but right. They're lined up. They gave the win to the guy who was 17 feet behind him in his parking spot after traveling 3,000 miles, because the other guy traveled 3,000 miles and 17 feet because he was lined up 17 feet further back. And that was it. And the rules they make, and the French hate us, and they make all kinds of weird rules and they screw around with us. I don't know why they did that, but they took it away from Ken Miles.
But he ended up living a long life and winning multiple times, right?
So, then he went to Riverside and died testing a GT40 some months later. So it's a very interesting story about this guy's life. Now, that was a part of our documentary that I found very interesting. But it's also interesting and a little bit flattering that somebody's decided to do this Ken Miles story on the heels of us doing this doc. Yeah. It's not a name anyone knows or anything. I'll take some credit for getting it out there.
Speaking of taking some credit, you see any piece of this, or is it all just kind of a happy, you know, footnote to history?
It was just a coincidence.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I will tell you exactly how this will go. People say to me, oh, hey, Paul Newman's got a couple of daughters, and they do the charity and the foundation and stuff. What did they say about the doc? Did they enjoy it or blah, blah, blah? I go, I have no idea. And then they go, why not? I go, I've never spoken to anybody from the Newman from their group at all, the daughters who run the foundation. We volunteered to do like, hey, we'll do a screening and we'll get everyone in and we'll give the money. They do not return the emails. Oh, yeah. I've not been contacted.
The checks just show up. No, you never have a conversation between right. the two.
It's mailbox
I've
money.
I've never heard from anybody that's related to Paul Newman, except for I interviewed his brother who lives in Palm Springs, who was part of the doc. Other than that, his siblings and any other family members or foundation members or anything, I've not heard a word. I will never hear a word about this. I'm sure they'll get the movie and watch it because it's a good template to figure things out. Maybe they did get it and watch it already, and maybe that helped inspire this. But no, but the good news is Matt Damon is playing Carroll Shelby. And we're already halfway into the Carroll Shelby doc at the other place. Wow. So we're ahead of all of this shit. So one day when someone's making a goddamn documentary about me, and it'll be entitled, how come no one knew he was interesting? I shall be thanked posthumously for thinking of all this shit and doing all this shit and being ahead of all this shit at some point. Now, there is no point where Matt Damon goes, hey, I'd like to come by and check out the cars and pick your brain a little about Ken Miles or Carroll Shelby, or you guys are doing all this research on Shelby. There is no version where anybody associated with this project contacts us or has any kind of discussion with us or even recognizes us in any way, shape, or form. That much. That is about the only thing I've learned about this business.
No, for sure.
It'll be complete and utter zero. I'm not sure, but that's every stitch of experience says that's how it shall be. But that's all right, because we will have a movie called The 24-Hour War, Ford versus Ferrari, when a movie comes out called Ford versus Ferrari. So we'll have the doc that people will want to go back and see that, thank God, we pay for everything ourselves, so we shall own it. And we will also have the Carol Shelby doc
when Matt Damon
is doing that, and people want to go find that. And yes,
it'll shoot to the top of the search engine.
I just watched the Gotti and Godfather, and they were promoting the John Travolta movie coming up. So maybe one of the channels will pick it up
to
promote the release of that movie.
Some renewed interest in distributorship, given the timing of what will be a big movie.
It's going to be nude interest, not renewed, because there was no interest in the first place. It's not like anyone's ever seen the 24-Hour War on the History Channel or Showtime. Mm-hmm. It could be nude.
Nude interest.
Yeah. Nude interest. Sounds very provocative. But certainly not renewed. The Newman doc.
There would have to have been nude interest already.
Don't call it a comeback. Yeah.
The Newman doc got onto Velocity because we bought 2 hours of time and put it on Velocity. That's how it got on. Like, I've never seen less interest in a movie that starred Paul Newman in my life. But don't worry. It'll all work out in the end. All right. Let's see. So we got Baldywood.
Sure do.
John Gotti's calling in, Junior, sorry, calling in next week. I got a lot of stuff. Let me get a couple calls and we'll do, I got thoughts on, I'm curious about Ocean's 8.
8.
Eric, 32.
Might be less curious.
Denver.
Hey, Adam. I called in to tell you that I tried to call you on the last day that you did Loveline to say goodbye, because I really loved the service that you and Dr. Drew did for so long. And Anderson was like, yeah, maybe in the next hour. So I wanted to say goodbye to you now. And then I also thought of something while I was waiting. In my last 5 years of my life, I've lost over 100 pounds. I used to weigh 300 pounds. I'm now like 175 and can bench 225, primarily on IF and keto. And so I love hearing you talk about that now. And I guess you could say I have a continued interest in Adam Carolla. So thank you for everything that you've done.
What's IF?
I don't know. Interval fasting?
Is that what that is?
Intermittent fasting? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, it's good. You know what OCIR stands for? It's Orange County International Raceway.
Orange County International Raceway.
Yeah. 10, the 210.
The 405 and the 5 explode.
They explode. Yeah. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And you should have told Anderson you called to say Adam gave me herpes.
It would have put you right through.
But your problem is you wanted to tell me about how much I've changed your life. And right.
That
gets you to the back of the line, buddy.
Let me put your mind at ease, Eric. Anderson probably didn't screen your call. It was probably a phone screener. But your point remains the same.
If you wanted
to get on the air, you probably would have had to say, Adam robbed me last night. Can I talk to him?
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. I appreciate it. And congratulations on going down. So it ain't rocket science, people. Just sort of back off the pasta and have another bite of bacon and you'll be just fine. Thoughts on retirement? Let's see. JR, 57, the Texan.
Yes.
Go ahead from Texas.
Hello, Adam. Dawson Bald.
How are you?
The original Fox on the Run, Gino. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Listen, I'm about the same age as you, and I've heard you talk about your busy schedule while envying watching your wife and kids take another lap around the lazy river. I've also heard you talk about your admiring Norman Lear and his drive in his old age. Where are you in your thoughts on retirement, or taking your foot off the accelerator, or is your work and your hobbies so intertwined that you don't ever see taking your foot off the accelerator? I just wanted your thoughts as someone similar in age.
Yes. You can take your answer off the air. I don't know why I always like that. I love it when people call in talk radio shows and go, I'll take my answer off the air.
Oh, will you, His Highness?
I think that's the radio version of, I'm eating in the car. Bring it out to the car.
I got a fart.
Hey, In-N-Out guy, I'm going to eat it in the car. I just like that. I'll take my answer off the air.
Take a little power back.
But I didn't say when you're going to get your answer.
Right.
I may wake you up 3 weeks from now, 4 a.m. and go, I've now put together an answer.
Is he off the air, isn't he?
All right. He can hear us. All right. Let's see. Hey, JR?
Yes.
You there? Okay. I just did a podcast called Take a Knee, my inspirational podcast, and Shadi, we'll figure out his name, was in here. Crazy last name, anyway, or interesting last name. Anyway, we're talking about making your sort of work, your passion, your work, and your that, blah, blah, blah. When I got done, I was explaining to him that, funny, when I just walked out of the booth, I had a text from the guy who was in charge of picking up the Porsche 935 and flying it to England for the Goodwood Festival. Yeah. Want to know how we're going to connect. Bakur, Shadi's last name is Bakur, and he makes these Pathwater, which is
nice canteen
it's basically
bottles.
Let's not fill the ocean with plastic bottles. This is bottled water that you would buy at the store, but it's just an aluminum can.
Yeah.
It's better. It's anyway, it's a long story. It's reusable and everything else. So I thought it was a good idea. Smart kid, talked to him. Somebody said, would you like to go to England and race your 935 up Lord Goodwood's driveway? And I said, yes, I would. And then I thought, wow, it's going to cost a lot of money to ship a car to England, and then a lot more money to get Airbnbs and flights and
alone,
foods,
yeah,
and the whole nine yards. This is sounding like thousands and thousands of dollars. So I said, Nate, go find somebody to pay us to do a travel log from one of the coolest car events in the world, and I shall then call Lord Goodwood, and I will say to Lord Goodwood, hey, you really want my 935 at your event? Fine. You pay for the shipping of the car, and you know, I'll buy my meals and whatnot, mm-hmm, but you pay for the shipping, and I'll pay for myself. And I'll show up, and then Nate, you go find someone to underwrite this thing by paying for video content, and then we can go race the car and come home with a couple bucks in our pocket. And who needs to retire from that?
Right.
I guess is what the answer is. If you can be doing enough different stuff. I was at Indianapolis premiering Uppity. The weekend before, I was in Portland doing a stand-up show. I'm going to be on stage tonight with Jimmy doing a comedy bit. Who needs to retire from that? Mm-hmm.
So would you get to a point where you're like, you know what? I paved some good pod road. I'm going to go ahead and let that go, sell one of the warehouses, and just focus on cars for the rest of my life.
There's a part of me that would probably...
Please don't.
Rather focus...
Brian and I would like you to not do that.
Rather focus... Oh, we'll get Doug Stanhope in here.
Oh.
It'll carry on. It'll be no problem. Well, like the man show.
Yeah,
no problem.
Exactly, I exactly reference.
There's a part of me that would probably focus even more on like architecture and building.
Oh, yeah, that makes
and
sense.
And then there's a part of me that would probably focus on motivational something and trying to help people sort of get out of, you know, essentially most people I see are in their own way, and we have a system, at least we have a news cycle that tries to explain that somebody else is in your way. So Nazis or Antifa or the Russians or Trump or Obama or Hillary or the system or your teacher or the cop, or we have this sort of elaborate sort of dream catcher of who's in your way that we just put over everyone's bed. But the reality is, and we love to fill it, and they're interchangeable. You know, it's like one minute it's Obama, now Trump's in there, right. now the cops are in your way, now the haters. I like just the mysterious haters, right. You know, now the haters are in the way, you know, and now we have to figure out whose bed this is hanging over. Are you a woman? Are you black? Are you gay? Are you lesbian? Are you elderly? Are you fat? Are you whatever? And then we'll construct a dream catcher that works well. Like, I'll dial it in. Right. What are you, black? Okay, good.
You're adjusting it.
Female, right. Nice. Let's get an extra dough. Lesbian, let's get a lot of Trump in there.
Yeah.
Let's get a lot of Trump. Okay, that's good. And then if you're white guy and you're Republican and you're NRA, well, let me get some Nancy Pelosi. Pelosi and Don Lemon. I'll get Don Lemon right in the middle there. I think, and then I'll construct this thing, and then I'll hang it over your bed, and then you'll just live your life accordingly.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if any of those things have zero impact in terms of you being successful or living your life or doing what you want to do. If it's not zero, it's fucking close to zero. And all we do is lay in our beds and stare up at this dream catcher that we've constructed in our head. And the news outlets don't help. And we've made it. And we just stare at it. And I like to explain to everyone, you are 100% in charge of whatever it is you want to do. And if you want to end up at a point where you're going to Goodwood and racing at 9:35, you can do that. There is nobody. There's nobody who's going to make it happen. And there's nobody who's going to stop you. You can just go do it. And it drives me nuts to see everyone just tripping over their own shoelaces and being their own biggest enemy. And just like the number one thing brought up before, but sorry. Number one thing, don't be late. Don't be late. Stop being late. Who's in charge of you fucking being late? Donald Trump? Who's
not
fucking
some existential,
you up?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, okay, you're a young woman of color who's trisexual. Okay, fine. The world hates you. But who makes you late all the time? That's who? The man? The systemic whatever-ism that's making you late to work constantly?
You're in charge of that.
You're in charge. You're in charge of that. You're in charge of everything. So go ahead and do it. And I'd love to explain that to people who would listen.
That'd be good.
And then have him pay me a shitload of money and buy a Ferrari.
Then you can retire.
Then I could retire. Okay. Hey, JR, take your answer off the air.
Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, real quick, we had a listener email me about something that might interest you. You know, LGBTQ plus. There's a new one. There's a new one to add. If you'd like to know what she had to say about this real quick, this is for you. Gina listened to Adam's rant about the pronouns. Interestingly enough, my daughter and I just had a conversation about her friend who's engaged to be married. She's 23 years old, and she's labeled herself a recognized LGBTQ classification. She is gray asexual.
What does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you. It's a real thing designated on the flag. It's where you're asexual, but you still want to have sex. Every now and then you want to have sex, so you're gray asexual.
So she's married?
So she said, the woman who wrote me.
Gray
asexual. Mm-hmm. They have turned a hormonal imbalance into a victim class. I'm just dumbfounded.
You don't feel like sex very often. But where's the gray? That's a gray area.
Well, yeah, I guess. Well, asexual. First of all, I thought from science class, asexual means you reproduce on your own. But I guess asexual means you have no sexual feeling or vibe.
Right.
But if you're gray, you'll do it every once in a while.
They're missing an opportunity here. There should be gray sexual.
Right.
Yeah, gray, that's asexual. A good portmanteau.
Gray sexual.
Yeah.
Gray sexual.
I just picture old pubes and I'm turned off.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. We're going to do the movie review. Dylan wants to think, Ooh, something with punctuality? I just said that. Let me tell you about the Casserole Edge over here. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show and with your Casserole Challenge for your questions. Casserole Challenge brought to you by Casserole Edge. Formulated with fluid titanium technology, reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times stronger, fool.
Three times, fool!
Against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic. What do you got, Max Banner?
All right, T-Commerce on Instagram writes, I'm a fledgling Datsun enthusiast, and I'm going to buy a vintage car. Should I get a 240, 260, or 280 for future upside potential?
All those old Z cars are getting really expensive now. Ooh. Nissan. As I said, it's going to be the mark, the brand at the manufacturer that to be featured at the Rolex Historics. Max Pata, how good is the Rolex Historics?
It's my favorite week of the year.
Is it the Pebble Beach thing?
Yeah. But this one's not at Pebble Beach. This is at the track.
Right. Yeah, and the Pebble Beach part is just part of this trip to the track.
The Quail's good.
Oh, yeah.
But some badass 500 plus cars. So
Datsun is the car.
Datsun
this is prime time for you.
Is the manufacturer. So they are back in the realm, circling back to getting paid to do what you love. I am not driving the 935 Porsche there. Nissan has given us a little money to do a car cast, bring a couple of cars. And they said, well, we'd love to see you drive one of Paul Newman's GT1 championship cars.
And you're like, how much would you like?
That's right. Paul, these are two cars that I bought in very broken down states, are very, you know, they're not fixer uppers. They're tear it down completely to the bare frame and straighten the frame and weld the frame and powder coat it and then rebuild everything and put everything back on the car. They're two of the earliest. This is the first Newman car I ever bought. He was alive when I bought this car, and it was just a broken down mess. I was such a kind of a greenhorn back then that I would put my head inside of it, even when it was just sitting there on like three flat tires, and I was frightened. I was like, this is a scary, scary car that I don't want to be a part of. And it didn't feel like a car. It felt like this scary contraption. If you ever put your head, you ever go to like the whatever war museum, and you look inside like a 60s fighter jet, and you put your head in the cockpit, and you go,
tank.
Just go, oh, boy.
No thanks.
No thank you. That's what I felt, but I've matured a little bit, and we just fired this car up. Max Zapata has it, I think. I filmed it with my own camera. Very proud of myself. But this car, this is Newman's GT1 championship car from 1986, and it is going to Laguna Seca, and I shall be driving it, and I bought it over 10 years ago. Sorry, go ahead and hit it for a second. Then I turned the camera the wrong way. Exhaust pipe there, and I'll just give you a little walk around the car.
Intricate.
It's an intricate car. I think it was sponsored by Canon and Planner's Peanuts. There's Newman's name on top of the thing, and that car hasn't seen a track in 30 years plus. So,
until now.
Thank you. Some go and some blow. I would say go with the 240. It'll be the best. They made the 240 in 1970, 71, 72, and 73. Then they switched to 260, then the 280. 240, meaning 2.4 liter, straight six. 260, yeah.
Did 2, you hear 2. That,
6. 6 liter. Yeah.
2.6, and so on. The last year, 73. I heard they switched to some different SU carbs and or Solex or something, and they weren't good. So try to get a 70 through 72 240Z. And that's my advice to you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I got this, and then I want to do the movie review, and then we're going to get to Mike. Dylan, 25, New Jersey.
Hey, Spall Gina, get it on.
Yeah, man.
I wanted to mention how you unexpectedly, for me, improved my life in a couple ways. I love Adam Carolla and Friends Built Stuff Live, and I built these lofts in my apartment, and I now sleep on that without any sort of cushion, and that relieves a lot of the back pain that I get from work, and just like right on the plywood.
Yeah.
And I always had a hard time with the snooze. You know, you just roll over and you hit it over and over and over again, so I'd be late. But now I set my alarm in a different room, and instead of having a ladder, I just screwed two lag bolts into the post. So I climb up and down that, and it's very painful in the morning, and it wakes you up pretty quick.
Wow.
Did you say lag bolts?
Yeah.
Wow. That's painful.
Yeah, it's unpleasant, but hey, it really wakes you up quick.
That's his cold shower.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Dylan. I'm glad to hear you're doing well, and I love it. It is really a quest of mine to share things that I've learned. Most people, you know, there are many people that started off poor and now they're rich, or they started off middle class and now they're very successful or something. But I was uniquely unsuccessful, and my family was uniquely unsuccessful, and it transcended poor. It was like we were a goddamn mess, and no one could do anything right.
It permeated.
And that's how I was. Everything was a goddamn mess, and it sure, there was also no money, but that was just sort of a byproduct of being a goddamn mess, and I figured out most of the things and corrected them along the way, and would love to share that with everyone, except for no one wants to hear any of it ever, which
it's your curse.
A very interesting thing, the stay the course for the people that have no course, which or their course is heading iceberg toward the iceberg. Ahead, yeah. All right, let's do this thing. Shall we do Baldywood?
Stuff is haunted. Mm.
Sorry, man. Hey, anytime we can hear Fox on the run.
On a loop.
That's a good thing.
It's hidden. That's why. All right, here we go. Bollywood time.
Hooray for Bollywood. He will tell you if a movie's good. Brian will review the flicks that he's seen up on the big screen or in his Netflix queue. Before you spend bucks, remember his taste sucks. He loved that train wreck piece of shit, Transformers 2. Hooray for Bollywood.
So this Bollywood requires a little bit of backstory. Yesterday, Chris Luxemana and I are talking, a little pre-production, chatting in the studio before the show. And he says kind of offhandedly, you got any Bollywoods coming up? And I'm like, I just saw Ocean's 8 yesterday. And he goes, oh, let's talk about it. I'm like, I don't know if you noticed, Chris, most of the movies I talk about on Bollywood are at least, I can say some good things.
Positive experiences.
Yeah, or I can say, this is good, this is above average, this is really good, guys. Check it out. Patty Cakes is one of my favorite things. Like,
just saw it,
yeah.
Loved it.
I love to let people know about movies they may not have otherwise known about. I don't like to crap on movies. It just doesn't feel good. And it's not why I like movies, is, you know, not to be the cranky critic or the whatever, the guy who's always hating on things. And I don't have a ton of good things to say about Ocean's 8.
It's certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, Brian. Maybe you're wrong.
It most certainly is not. It's sitting at 68% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's certified fresh.
68% of Rotten Tomatoes. Oddly, 52% amongst the users. You rarely see a movie like this that is a very crowd please. It's you know, it's a heist movie in the spirit of Ocean's 11, starring an all-female cast, and it is sitting significantly below the critic score. Really rare.
Well, would you guys like an explanation as to why that is?
I think we can probably guess.
This one stars all chicks. Mm-hmm. That's why the critics are significantly higher than the peeps.
With that many women.
Unless you guys think I'm paranoid or something
No.
That's the explanation here. It is certified fresh. It's 68%, but it's still fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. And the people have it at 52%. Mm-hmm. And these things are always
the other way.
Yeah, the Oceans. And then these ones don't vary. But I was looking at this and I was like, all right. So in the modern day era, I didn't go back that far. But the Oceans 11 is 82% and 80. So it's about the same critics and people. Oceans 12 is 54 critics and 60 with the people, so higher with the people. Mm-hmm. And then the next one, Ocean's 13, is 70 with the critics and 75 with the people. So the people are usually at or higher, especially in these
more
kind of movies. Now, why are they 68 and why are the people so low? Because the people, it's not some sort of social justice that needs to be done. They just go to a movie and they go, did we like it or didn't we like it? The critics have to factor in a whole bunch of Me Toos and a whole bunch of other shit that's going on and then weigh in, which is the opposite of doing your job, because we shouldn't think this is a good movie if it's not a good movie. And it's in a weird way kind of sexist and condescending to go, what, this one stars all chicks, so let's bump it up 20% because...
For whatever reason.
Yeah, but you knew this one was going going this way.
Well, speaking of doing your job, let's get into the particulars here. Ocean's 8 is in theaters now, of course, directed by Gary Ross, director of Seabiscuit, Pleasantville, and the first Hunger Games. So he's got some good credits under his belt. Sandra Bullock stars, Cate Blanchett, Anne Hathaway, Sarah Paulson, Helena Bonham Carter's in this, Mindy Kaling, Awkwafina, Rihanna, Richard Armitage, and James Corden makes an appearance in this movie.
Awkwafina?
Yeah. Awkwafina as a person.
Good
I learned that.
Really? Week,
yeah. Rapper, pop singer,
Chris,
what's the vibe?
Yeah, rapper, TV.
And she was good. And pretty much everyone in this movie is, everything about the movie is just good enough. Like, I don't think I can say this is a bad movie. I can say there are.
I worked with her brother, Pepsi Free.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You might know her. Yeah, you might know her. Her sister, Sparklets.
Yeah. Sparklets. Yeah. Yeah.
So, so we open on Debbie Ocean. It's her parole hearing, right? And we learn that she's the sister of Danny Ocean, and she's been in prison for years. And she says she's giving up her life a crime. She wants to go straight. She wants to give it all up. And of course, immediately upon getting out of prison, the next scene returns to her life of crime. So she is going to plan a massive heist of diamonds at the Met Gala.
By the way, you can no longer say Indian giver. When are we going to not be able to say go straight anymore?
Oh, like, you know, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to get narrow. Somebody. Come on, Thought Police. Right. Let's get going, HuffPo.
Yeah.
Let's hurry up.
That's right.
All right, here we go.
So,
and steal from Anne Hathaway?
Anne Hathaway is like an Anne Hathaway type. She's an actress who's going to, you know, like people, Cartier will loan you a multi-million dollar necklace to wear to some huge Oscars or Met Gala or something.
Yeah, I was at the Oscars.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So she's wearing one. They're going to steal it off her neck. It's a very elaborate plan. Okay.
Hey, Max Zapata, let's go ahead. I'll put it to the people in the Twitter sphere, but we can work on it from our list. Which one of these women would least like to have sex with the Ace Man?
Oh,
put the cast in order. Now, it's going to be tough with Velveeta because we don't have her.
No, she's cool.
I'm saying we don't have her on our list.
I think
Anne Hathaway is a perennial all-star.
Well, but it's got to be Blanchett and
Helena Bonham Carter is like a proper Shakespearean actress.
Interested.
But Sarah Paulson's a lesbian.
Put them in order. Let's start working out an order, people. Let's put it to the people. Sorry,
almost positive. I heard she was.
Oh, she was dating the mom from Two and a Half Men.
Okay. I heard she went straight.
Don't say that. So here's the glaring. Oh boy.
Don't need it. You guys can work it out.
Okay. Here's the glaring question I kept asking myself as I'm watching this movie. Why does this exist in the Ocean's universe? There is nothing in this movie from her being Danny Ocean's sister to. Every little thing that pops up feels shoehorned in. Like, at the end of the first act, I'm not spoiling anything because it doesn't have anything to do with the movie. It's completely standalone and has nothing to do with anything. Like all the other references to the movies, Elliot Gould shows up out of nowhere. The character from the Ocean's 11, and he's like, don't do it, don't live a life of crime. And she's like, I'm going to do it. And then he departs, never to be heard from again.
Maybe Pacino said, I'll throw you off this building if you pop up in this movie again. Now sign the deed.
Nothing in this movie has anything to do with Oceans that matters at all. Like, it feels I have this very, very, very strong suspicion this script existed and was slapped on with Oceans things halfway through. And I'm thinking, why? What is the purpose? It feels insulting. Like, we can't have these little girls carry in this movie alone. We gotta, you know, bring it into the Oceans universe, it with a big thing people recognize, and we'll get these little ladies movement. Then it hit me. They're going to have a crossover movie, like an Avengers style. Like, you know, they're going to start like bringing characters
Oceans
into this.
Oceans 25.
Yeah, exactly. Oceans, whatever. It's going to be a whole mix thing. I got very depressed.
It did well at the box office,
well at the box office.
$42 million or something like that.
Here's storytelling problem number one. There's no antagonist. I wouldn't normally do this. I would feel like I would be pandering by saying, let's compare it to Ocean's 11. But because they put it in the universe, I'm going to compare it. Ocean's 11 had Terry Benedict, right? The Andy Garcia character.
Sure.
He was the casino owner. They were robbing him. He also was dating the, Julie Roberts. Yeah, Julie Roberts' character. And he was a smug asshole. There were a whole bunch of reasons that he was the antagonist, the bad guy. There is barely an antagonist in this
movie.
Anne
Hathaway is just trying to wear a necklace.
Kind of. That's kind of it. There's a guy who wronged Sandra Bullock somewhere along the line, but that is a side
character.
That's a side.
Cheating with a porn star.
So, fundamental storytelling problem number one. Fundamental storytelling problem number two. nothing, very little goes wrong for these characters. Like, this heist gets pulled off flawlessly. And that was one of the great things about Ocean's 11 was, remember that they blew the power grid. Then they had to get the pinch. And then the guy cut his hand. And then remember the nerd wiped his hand, his head with his hand and got the notes all smudged. Like, things would constantly go wrong. And these guys would have to figure out a clever way
because
around
it. Because they're men, Brian.
Whatever.
And it was, you give it to a woman if you want it done flawlessly.
Exactly. You know what? You give me something to think about.
There you go.
So a couple of very fundamental storytelling problems. And I guess the movie is technically above average. It's sitting at 68. I would give it a, if 60 is the bottom threshold for fresh, I'd give it a 61. It's like, it's made technically well, but, and I think if you go to see this, it'll be kind of like, you know, cotton candy, like in and out really quick, in one eye and out the other, but unnecessarily frustrating. Just a frustrating movie to watch. Like, why are they doing this and why are they doing that? And this doesn't feel true.
So we'll be able to follow it if we haven't seen the Ocean series.
All you little ladies will be able to follow it. Don't worry.
Hooray for Bollywood!
All right. We're going to bring Mike Reese in a moment. First, I'll tell you about Tommy John. Summer's here. I'm wearing my Tommy Johns right now. You got the old cotton boxers. They get a little soggy. They get a little damp. Not designed to handle the sweat, man. Check out Tommy John. Combines the latest fabric technology with patented wedge-proof designs, almost like wearing nothing at all. No swamp-like conditions down below. Tommy John's moisture-wicking fabric pulls the perspiration right off your body. Cool cotton. You will not go back. Whatever it is you're doing now in the underpants department, I can promise you, once you switch to Tommy John, once you try Tommy John, you just will not return to where whatever your former undergarments were will then be gone. Back by the best pair you'll ever wear. It's free guarantee. Stay cool all summer long with Tommy John. No adjustment needed. Dawson.
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, we're all massive Simpsons fans, and one of the men who's behind the success was there at the beginning, amongst the first, one of the first writers there, Mike Reese. He's going to be in right after a break in Good Sports.
Corolla Digital delivers the best podcasts ever made with some of the best people around.
Hey, you guys, it's Joe Coy, and I got my podcast here at Corolla Digital called The Coy Pond. The Coy Pond. I get all my friends to come on, and then they tell me a story, and then I make fun of them, and it's a blast. So tune in. Just go to adamcarolla.com and download every episode.
The Coy Pond with Joe Coy. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and at adamcarolla.com.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the Friday episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Make sure you check out Dave's of Thunder. We're now two episodes into the big comeback, episode 65, available for your listening pleasure. Make sure you download it, subscribe, comment, all that stuff on Apple Podcasts. All right, Ace, the sports week is just about in the books. What do you want to kibitz about today? Do you want to talk about, it was a week ago, or I guess 8 days ago, that the Washington Capitals won the Stanley Cup. What do you think? And they did it, and I think everybody would rather their team win it in the home city so you can celebrate it, but not too bad winning it over in Las Vegas.
How long has it been since the Capitals?
Zero. Since 19, never. They never did it before. It's bad for me as a Penguins fan, Pittsburgh Penguins fan. I've likened the Capitals, or at least I was always able to until now, to compare them to the Cincinnati Bengals. The Steelers' rival is the Baltimore Ravens. I don't like them, but they've had enough deeds that I must respect them begrudgingly. The Bengals love to talk about how they're the Steelers' rivals. Rival. We beat you in any game of significance in our mutual history. You're not our rival. You're the Cleveland Browns rival. You're a punchline for us. The Capitals were always that to the Penguins until now.
Randall Tex Cobb was not Larry Holmes' rival. He was a guy for him to punch
Precisely. Coyote was not Roadrunner's rival.
That's right. So let me figure this out. You tell me. all the talk last week about the White House and who's going and who's not going and all that stuff. If you're Trump, you hope the Golden State Warriors, and he got his wish, the Golden State Warriors win because you can go, those Quimbys from the California over there, look at them. You know what I mean? Of course, they're a sanctuary state, blah, blah, blah. We don't, I don't it even want those
suits,
guys.
It suits him, yeah. In other words.
It's not as glaring. What I'm saying is when a team in your own state, in your own city wins, Washington something. So here's what I'm saying is you go basketball and you go Golden State. And of course, the coach is pretty vocal about Trump and his dislike for
great
Trump.
Great point. This is a great point.
So
right.
You're going as Trump, or forget it, as a guy who's throwing a party. You could go, phooey, screw those guys. Come on. They're over there. They're sanctuary state. They're all hippies over there. The coach had it out for me for word go. It's a bunch of brothers on the team.
Us versus them. This lines up for him.
They made a point. I don't need it. But when a team in your own city wins and is not going to walk down the street to go to the White House, like, now that's a little different statement. And when a hockey team,
the flights are so expensive from the West Coast, sorry, we can't have the time zone thing, it'll be weird by the time we get in.
It's like in politics, you go, all right, well, the Democrats voted no on this, but the Republicans voted yes on it. But when there's a couple of Republicans who vote no on it, that stings. Because it's like, wait a minute, you're on our team, and you still won against this, whatever. I don't know what the Washington Capitals are doing. I don't know if the Wizards are planning on winning anything, but that's a bigger slap in the face when the guys whose training facility is 2 miles away are not coming to the White House. Now, what have we heard with the hockey squad?
I am not clear.
Hockey demographically is not basketball.
No, in fact, I don't mind telling you, I did not approve. The only thing that number 66 Mario Lemieux has ever done that let me down was take the Pittsburgh Penguins to the White House at a time when no one else was going. I say, Ace, not to be political, But actually, to open up a larger conversation.
Wait, when did he take? When no one was going?
The Golden State Warriors didn't go.
But Mario Lemieux.
No, he went. Yeah, he and the whole team went. He said, "Yeah, we're going
to
the White House."
But you said when no one else was going.
I mean, at a time when other teams are saying we're not going to the White House because
what year was that?
Last year.
Oh, Mario Lemieux. Went yeah. last year?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
66 Lemieux went to the White House.
He's been in the league for, wait a minute.
No, he owns the Penguins.
He owns the team. Okay.
He's the greatest.
I was thinking of him as a player.
There's no
going
human
to the
being
White House.
In
I
the history, it. At least in American sports, who's meant as much to one franchise as Lemieux has. He saved the franchise three times. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole of Lemieux.
He was taking his team as a captain, not as a player, and I was going back to Bill Clinton or something. I was trying to figure out what was going on.
Gotcha. Right, yes. So he took the whole gang out there. Okay. But yes, I hail Malcolm Jenkins. Chris Long, who you've kibitzed with, is a great man. In a world of guys like me, Chris Long is a man, you know,
yes.
does just great work and, you know, considerate human being and all that. So I hail their decision to not go to the White House. But I've also said,
Gary, you got to figure out if the Capitol.
Yeah, see if there's word on that.
He has urged them to come. President Trump has urged the Washington Capitals to come. And gave a quote, something to the effect of, if they want to be here, it's the greatest place on earth, and I'm here. If they don't, I don't want them. But he's saying, come. But then
there is one guy, I don't know if he's a brother, I think he may be Canadian on the Capitals, that's already was saying he's not going.
Yes, that's also true.
Devontae Pelly Smith, I believe.
I went to the White House with the 90s band, the Afghan Whigs.
You did? What were you? What's your connection to the Afghan Whigs?
We just won the Stanley Cup.
That's what the sport would really come up.
We were in Washington, D.C. for the WHF Festival at RFK Stadium and doing a big summer concert. And they wanted me to bring a band out on stage. And they said, do you want to take a tour of the White House? Not with the president. Just take a tour of the White House. And I said, fine.
What a funny and weird thing. Wasn't with Cypress Hill, your pals from Cypress Hill.
No, they couldn't clear security.
I submit, though, Ace, that in a world that is always changing, we don't necessarily respect all our longstanding institutions. Don't you think it's unjust that the Dallas Cowboys claimed America's team 30, 40, 45 something years ago or whatever, yeah, and they just get to perennially own it? I say that the Philadelphia Eagles, I said before they won the Super Bowl, they're America's team for their, but political stuff aside, don't you think this should be a moving thing? What's the most, they had fun end zone celebrations. Let's base it on that. Shouldn't there be a different America's team? Why do the Cowboys get it?
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those things, like going back when I went to the White House with the band, the Afghan Whigs.
At the time, weird combo.
I worked for the world famous K-Rock. Now, K-Rock was a local station, a local FM station, started out like above a laundromat in Pasadena. They were not world famous, not when they started. They sort of, in a weird way, became world famous. People heard of K-Rock radio station throughout, but they just dubbed themselves the world's famous K-Rock in, you know, 1982, and that's what you get to do. So you get America's team or world famous. Just go ahead and slap it on.
That's why I declared some years ago on the aforementioned Daves of Thunder. I said, you know what? I'm tired of watching other people do it. Marvelous Marvin Hagler went the extra mile, and he actually had that legally added to the front of his name. You must call him Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and it does insinuate itself into your brain that he must have been pretty marvelous because that's in his name. That's why I established I would like everybody to call me Funny Dave Damashek. Then I don't actually have to actually be funny anymore.
Right.
Because it's, you know, it's hit and miss at best, yeah, for me as it goes. But if you hear enough Funny Dave, well, he must be a funny guy.
Yeah, you can coast like Cedric the Entertainer.
That's another good one. All right, let's leave it there for a fine week of hot sports talk here. You know what? Shaq has a quick message.
Take the bus, Sammy.
Yes, that's Shaquille O'Neal talking a little Daves of Thunder noise there. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you're listening to the Adam Carolla Show each and every day. No higher level of comedy and insight on the human condition than what Adam Carolla is his name, provides for your listening pleasure. Make sure you're checking all that stuff out. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports out.